Awesome. And let's just give Beck an amazing round of applause for emceeing and worshipping all in one. Hasn't she done amazing this morning? So good. I just want to say, I think the church is in amazing hands. We have the amazing Joe, the amazing Mitch, and people like Beck, and just, oh, it's so good. So God has got a bit of a theme today, and I'm really excited about that. I just see these traces throughout what's been said. I'm going to focus on a particular passage this morning, and there's a lot in it, so sounds like you've got some great homework this week, Esther. And now 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And what I want us to focus on is just how do we kind of make good decisions? How do we prioritize God in a really chaotic world? And we've already got some great wisdom about that, so I'm just going to add to it. But let's read this passage. It should be on your screens as well. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Awesome. Thanks, Trevor. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless wild living and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they may be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So good to read a chunk of scripture, right? Just sounds so good. Okay, so what does that all mean? I'm just going to pick a couple of things because I know that was a little bit complex. First point I want to draw it out is that we need to have the mindset of Christ. We need to have the same attitude that Jesus did. So Jesus chose to not end his suffering, but to actually surrender his will to what God wanted in order that people could be saved from their sin. So I want to read verse 1 and 2 again. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. So we need to have the same attitude to not live for ourselves, but to live for him. And it's a whole shift in doing that. And when I thought about that, I thought about an athlete that's training for the Olympics, right? The highest level, the elite level, you know, but it's full on, right? It's grueling, it's quite tiresome. Early mornings, aching muscles, nutrition, mindsets, routines, getting up early, having to do a lot of work, right? And to an outsider, that can be really tough. Like, oh my gosh, there's so much involved. But do you know what? All of the suffering and the struggles and the hard work kind of goes away when they get accepted to represent their country in the Olympics. And when they run that race, they can feel the honour of representing their country. And all of the hard work just kind of fades into the distance. We're the same church. If we suffer a bit and struggle with trying to follow God's will, we need to remind ourselves that our prize is to see God move in our life and the life of those around us as we represent him on this earth. Just as the athlete can't make excuses or give up and do their own thing but needs to stay focused on the prize, Jesus surrendered his desires and still suffered for us. So church, if bed is calling you on a Sunday morning and you don't want to get up out of bed and get to church on time, feel the burn, feel the struggle, but come to church anyway. If reading your Bible seems hard, do you know what? Just keep trying. Just keep reading. You'll learn some things. It'll get better. If praying is hard, just keep persisting. He hears you. No matter how long your prayers are or what you say, he hears you. He's listening. We can struggle and suffer sometimes knowing that we will overcome this and see the ultimate glory of God. For the prize of honouring God and seeing Him move in our lives and in those around us far outweighs the struggles. We can do hard stuff, church. All these amazing things that Mitch and Joe said. We can do these hard things. We can put this stuff together. Because not just knowing that He cares about us and the people around us. It will be okay. Second part I want to say is it's okay to be different. And Joe did an amazing job telling us about that, sharing our faith with our friends. Verse 4 and 5, it says this, "As they are surprised that you not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the world, living and the dead, sorry. So don't be surprised when you live for God that you feel a bit different. It's okay to be different. Some people are going to think you are the strangest person in the world because you don't look like them and you don't do what they do, and that is okay. Now, it often occurs in social settings, right? So verse 3 has a lot of great examples of what sort of not to do, but I want to also give it a bit of a context. So go back, because as Joe pointed out, we're all a bit old. Go back to my 16th birthday, right? And I was only turning 16. So, you know, it's illegal to do underage drinking. But anyway, 16, very innocent affair, pool party, cake, fun, food, just kids from school, it was awesome. But I remember I had two particular friends that came to my birthday, and they thought I was so weird because there was no alcohol, right? And they came from a background, even at 16, that like you just keep drinking and you just don't, you pass out, you don't remember the next day what you've done, right? And so they thought that my party was really odd because no one was doing that. Fast forward to current day, because I'm older than 16, that in my workplace, people know that I go to church because people go, say, how was your weekend? And they go, oh, yeah, I had an awesome like time at church on Sunday. They look at me as if I've got horns on my head, right? And also because I don't swear. And so they think that's weird because they all love to swear. So, but you know what? In the words of Taylor Swift, the haters gonna hate, right? So we're just gonna shake it off. So when people think that you're weird and they look at you differently, it's okay, because you know what? You serve God, not others, and He is what matters. He is what counts. All right. Now, the other aspect of that is that we don't live by human standards, but we live by the Spirit, yeah? So if you struggle, church, you know you can actually ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And we don't need to overcomplicate this, right, and get all sort of funny and religious and weird. Literally just in your head, or if you're in your car or quiet space out loud, to say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. Help me to know what to pray. Lord, help me to speak to this person. Whatever it is, we can ask for the guidance. Also, when you read your Bible, that gets really tricky. Before you start, Holy Spirit, help me understand. That's all it takes. It's not rocket science, I promise. So the Holy Spirit, because we live by the Spirit, can guide us at all times. Now, part of this guidance is through prayer. So verse 7 says, to be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. We need to be thinking and praying about God, what God's will is as we pray. So what does God actually want in the situation? Chaos and the busyness and the rushness of life and prioritising has come up quite a few times. And one of the things that actually helps me to do that is to pray. Life has often been quite busy with friends and family. There's so much going on. But I have to pray to see what God's will is first. So being sober-minded and alert means that we're not under the influence of anything else. Not fear, not worry, not guilt, not trying to save someone and rush to be God for them, but rather be alert to what God is wanting to do and then surrendering to this. In the busyness and rush sense of this world, we need to slow down and pray first. It's super important, church. When we do that, we can be alerted to what He's actually wanting. The situation will be handled a lot differently, a lot better, because we live by the Spirit. So let's keep alert in prayer in what God is doing. Also need to remember to love deeply, right? So verse 8 and verse 9 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So that means that spending time with each other actually needs to be a priority amongst the busyness and the chaos. So it could be buying someone a coffee, it could be having lunch with someone, it could be texting someone to make sure that they're okay, not rushing after church and on Sunday and hanging out with us and chatting to us, getting to know us so we can get to know you. It's about loving others and doing that well, because that's God's heart, that we love well. The last part I want to focus on is that you are gifted with something really special. In verse 10, it says, just as each one of you has received a gift, use it to serve others. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about a gift, I always think about Christmas time. Like, is it a good gift or a dodgy gift, right? And like, you know, little kids in the movies, they go down to the Christmas tree and they grab the box and they shake it. It's like, oh, is it something good? I hope it's something good, right? But do you know what? God spoke to me and said, you know what? Some of us are questioning if what we have inside of us is good. Yeah. Some of us question that maybe do we even have anything good inside of us to give? We may even doubt ourselves, thinking that what we can offer may be worthless or useless, or maybe we feel we don't actually bring that much to the table. I'm here to remind you that God doesn't create junk. God has designed you and purposed you to bring something special to others. There is a purpose on your life to be able to help others and to be productive and useful. What you hold inside of you is a good gift. God has given you something special, and that's also part of your capabilities. He's given you things that you can actually do to help others. Through God's eyes, you've already been entrusted with something special that's going to make a difference in someone else's life. When was the last time you sat with someone from church or you prayed to God and asked God or the person about what your gift actually is? When was the last time you thought about it, that what you bring, the good things that you bring? God has purposed something in your heart that is intentional, amazing word this morning, something that you can be passionate about, that you love doing, that God has put in you so that you can bless others. Whatever it is, it's good and it's useful and you have purpose. So if I can just get the keys up already. Thanks, Molly. Okay, so to sum up everything we talked about today, and I'm actually really surprised I'm on time because I'm always late. I'm really glad that it all came together. So to sum up everything, so first of all, we need to have the attitude of Jesus, to focus on his will, not our own, to stay focused. It's okay to be different. We live by God's standards and by the Holy Spirit as he guides us. We need to be sober-minded and pray, slowing down, asking God what he wants first before we launch in. We need to love well and recognize that there is a good gift that he has given you to help others, that you do have a purpose, you have worth. So some of the themes this morning has been, what do we do in the busyness and what do we do in the chaos and how do we be intentional? So hopefully everything this morning has left you with some things that you can actually go away and do and put in practice. Because if we choose God, church, everything else gets better. Everything else we can see a bit more clearly and we're grounded in his will and his ways. So let's just bow our eyes and our heads for a second. Sorry, you can't. Bow your eyeballs. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. So I just wanted to check, because some people might be here today. Maybe you've never really fully stepped up and committed to God or church. Maybe you've been struggling with feeling like, hey, you don't know what worth you bring or what worth you have. But you do have worth because there is a good gift inside of you. You have a purpose. Maybe you've been struggling with trying to put everything together week to week. But I feel like today God wants us just to commit afresh. If you don't know who God is, if this is the first time, if you're really committing your whole heart to him, your life to him, then you can say this prayer with me. For those of us who have known God for a while, let's just say it together out loud as a bit of a refresher and a fresh surrender this morning. So just repeat after me. God, I choose to focus on you today. God, forgive me when I focused only on myself. Help me to focus on your ways, your will, and your love for others. Thank you that you've given me a good gift. You have created me to do good and help others. God, help me to love others well. Help me to pray to you each day. In prayer, help me to ask what you are wanting. Help me not to rush to my own conclusions. When life gets hard, help me to still choose you. Help me to fully commit to you and your ways. Jesus, you died for me. Help me to honor you and give you the glory. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So excited about what God's doing, church. There's so many amazing things that he wants to show you. So keep pressing on. It's going to be amazing times ahead. Hand over to Beck.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Follow us on Instagram at The Lift Church or on Facebook at Lift Church Perth. That will give you all the up-to-date information about what's happening in the life of our church. Thanks again for listening. God bless.